It's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself. Show 'em what you got. Number one, it's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself and show 'em what you got. Number one, it's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself. Show 'em what you got. Number one, it's a fight just to make it to the top. Gotta prove yourself and show 'em what you got. Number one.
Welcome to Educators for Life, a winning world show with Shermanda. Coming to inspire, motivate, encourage, to shed light, and bring hope. We will share testimonies and share stories of people from around the world who have chosen to live triumphant lives on purpose, overcoming adversities. And now, a winning world show with Shermanda.
Gotta prove yourself and show them what you got. Number one.
Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving, let your request be made unto God. And peace, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:4-7. Great day, beloveds, with love, hugs, and mwah, fellowship, agape kisses. I come to you as your host and founder of A Winning World, welcoming you and praying that provision and protection continue to be granted and given as our portion. Saturday mornings are a delight for me as I'm able to come and share winning stories to bring hope and shed light to enlighten, encourage, and inspire, stirring up gifts, dreams, and visions in the hearers of the show to awaken to the purpose and plan in their lives to live triumphantly and victoriously. Today's guest found a voice she never knew she had. But when you hear her, as we are known before we were formed in our mother's womb, God had a plan, and you'll hear and know it was in her from the beginning. Let's welcome Jennifer Casey.
Hi, good morning, Shermanda.
Good morning, Jennifer. How are you today?
I'm doing well. It's a great day.
It is a great day. I woke up in so much praise and thanksgiving this morning. And, you know, I'm so glad that I get to share in this Thanksgiving with you on this morning. So, Jennifer, where are you? Where are you from?
I'm from Jacksonville, Florida.
Okay. Did you grow
up
here?
I grew up on the west side.
On the west side. So tell us about your growing up here in Jacksonville.
Oh, it's kind of funny. I used to tell people I always felt like I grew up in a small town. And in reality, Jacksonville's not that small. But growing up on the west side, I felt like I really just had sort of an ordinary childhood. I went to the local public school. I had a sister, and she and I were very close. We were only about 20 months apart. And we just sort of had a normal, low-key life. My parents were both very quiet. Neither of them is very outgoing. And so we spent a lot of time at home and with family and at the library and just doing the things that kids do. But my dad always really wanted to do more. You know, his father couldn't read or write. He went to school until about the eighth grade, and then he had to stop going to school because he grew up on the farm. His parents were sharecroppers, and so all the kids had to work on the farm. He had 22 brothers and sisters, and that was just the life that they knew. And so my dad always wanted to strive for more. And so my sister and I were young. I think I was maybe 9 or 10. My sister was 7 or 8. My dad went to night school so that he could get a college degree and really do more for us as a family.
Wow. So Dad said he wasn't going to have 22. He was going to have 10% of that and just have two children.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a lot of children. My old pastor, his wife had 26 children between them.
Wow.
I mean, that's a lot of babies. So I guess back in the day, they just had babies.
I guess so. I mean, that was your livelihood.
Yes.
You know, was working on the farm. That was, I mean, it was just sort of a necessity of the time.
It was. And you didn't have all these cars and you couldn't get from this place to that place as quick and as easily as you can now. And a lot of that family you know, environment, that family love, that family sharing, though we still have love and sharing, it has changed so much because we live in this microwave society, whereas back then on the farm, you know, you planted everything. It was, you know, seed time and harvest. You actually understood what that really meant, and in sharing with their neighbor. So I'm glad I'm here, but, you know, I love hearing those stories about the olden times. But I know one of the things you share with me about your family also is that your dad was in night school when you were coming up. And can you go more into detail with that?
Yeah, I think that my dad really striving to do more and to learn really kind of shaped who I became. He always has had various interests over the years. And I remember every time he had a new interest, I was really shocked by it, but also curious. Like, my dad was not athletic, but one day he just decided he was going to learn how to scuba dive. And so he went to classes and learned how to scuba dive. And then, I don't know, sometime later he got into writing a book. And so he wrote a book and tried to get it published, and wasn't successful at getting it published, but was really successful in inspiring me to really pursue my dreams. And so that's been a really interesting thing. And, you know, I had a good family growing up. They were good parents to me, and I had a wonderful upbringing. I'm very grateful for that. I didn't grow up in church or anything like that. I remember going to church once when I was little. All I remember about it is the red punch and those little butter cookies that have the hole in the middle. We call them ring cookies. Mm-hmm. We put them on our pinky fingers. That's all I remember of church from when I was a kid. So I didn't ever grow up in church, but my mom would have us pray over our meals. And so we would say, God is great, God is good, let us thank him for our food. And I thought, you know, as an adult now, I look back and I think, you know what, if there's anything that a person could be taught from a really young age, it's that God is great and that God is good. Because I see people every day in my life now, and even some religious people who, you know, have grown up in church, but they still don't yet believe that God is great and that God is good. And I feel like, you know, God really put me in the right family to shape me and to mold me into who I would become, that I would be somebody that chased after my dreams and could believe in myself and could not be ashamed about my own curiosity and interest, and, you know, that I would know that all of that had its rightful place under, you know, under God, you know, the greatness that he is, and that he would have good things for me. So really fortunate in that respect.
Amen. So you were able to actually see the struggles and appreciate them, which is, you know, what life is. I mean, we come, we go through, we overcome, we're victorious. And, you know, it's a beautiful thing. And yes, God is good. God is great. God is our everything. Well, Casey, let me ask you, what have you had to overcome, you know, to come into the winning life that you're living now?
Well, when I was 18, I was in a car accident. Really, my life, like I mentioned, had been pretty good. I had a normal, good life, and so I was really shocked by what happened. I was driving to work one day, and I was going over a really tall bridge that has a metal grating at the top. My car, it was raining, my car hydroplaned at the top of the bridge on the metal grating, and when I hit the concrete, it flew up on the median, and it spun around, and I landed upside down, and the people behind me called it in right away. They said it's definitely an accident with injuries and all of this, but the funny thing was, when I was in the middle of it, I saw myself, you know, like in a bloody heap in the bottom of the car. And I cried out to God to save me, and he really did. I didn't have a single scratch on me. I was, like, hanging upside down. The roof was smashed in everywhere except for over my head. And I really feel like God heard me in that moment, and that he did save me, and he did set me on a new path. And so while that was, like, really dramatic for me to experience as a teenager, the fact that I was fine, that it could have had such a different outcome, really affected a lot of the decisions that I made as a young adult. Like, for me, the decisions I made were more of the trial than the accident. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, as a young person, I was struggling to figure out, you know, who am I going to marry? And, you know, what am I going to do with my life? And, you know, where am I going to go to college? And those were the things that I really wrestled with. You know, sometimes we look at the big dramatic moments of our life, and they're far less significant than some of the daily decisions that we make. And I think that was definitely the case for me. My biggest trial was really just young adulthood.
Young adulthood and being able to make wiser choices in your everyday living.
That's right. Because I had ideas of what I wanted to do and what I wanted to achieve. And so, you know, I pursued those interests, but every so often it just seems like God would reach down his hand and, you know, want to pull me up a little higher into something different that I didn't have planned. And it was a stretch and it was uncomfortable, but I felt like I needed to really be in tune with him and what he created me to be and do the things that he created me to do. And so that really started for me during that time period in my life. And I still really look to him for that kind of guidance.
Amen. And, you know, it's one of those things you stated that, you know, I don't really have something, you know, very, you know, major issue, you know, of life changing or life happenings. But in actuality, that's a testimony in and of itself, that you went through as a teenager something that could have actually taken your life, but you survived it. And oftentimes people hear me say, you know, the stories about overcomers, and they think that, oh, well, I haven't really gone through anything major in life, but it's these little things that actually impact us even greater. And I want to thank you for that, and thank you for understanding and saying yes to be a part of the show, because the testimony is a testimony, and it doesn't matter how great or small. Every testimony matters in our lives. And Casey, I want to find out, you know, I know Dad was a great influencer in your life, as you've stated. Who are some of the other influencers that have gotten you to the point to thinking as you think as a you know, triumphant winner in this life living?
You know, I think I mentioned I spent a lot of time in the library growing up. I have to say Nancy Drew was one of my influencers because, you know, what we take in, we really become.
It's
so
true.
You know, when I would read about, you know, great characters like Nancy Drew and how bold they were and how strong they were and how courageous they were, and that was okay to be bold and strong and courageous as a young woman. Like, it really did make a difference in who I became. And then as I got older, you know, my mom and my aunts and my first full-time job, I had a boss, and she was absolutely wonderful. I mean, she was a mentor and a friend more than she was my boss. And she would write me little cards, and they would have scriptures on them about the season of life that she believed I was in. And, you know, she just really, you know, grounded me. And I think that when we can make, you know, a difference in the lives of those around us, it's just really meaningful. You never know what part of God's purposes you're going to set into motion, you know, by being kind, by being a friend, by being a mentor to someone.
Amen. And I remember Nancy Drew as well. Oh, goodness. To look at what the kids have to choose from today versus what we had to choose from, I would love to go back to those olden times. And not that we're old. We're not old, you know, to those, you know, a few years back times.
Yeah, it's really crazy because, you know, I would get all my books from the library today. Kids, like, buy up books, you know, and they read them once, and they're almost disposable. And it's just like when everything is disposable in our lives like that, paper plates, tablecloth, everything is disposable, then nothing really has value.
Yes.
And I think that we're treating all of our lives like that. Yes. Like, we're treating everything we do and say, it's just so permeated our culture that everything is disposable. And so when it doesn't have value, then we forget that we're supposed to be pursuing worthy things.
And it's so true. And, you know, we were able to highlight in our books and, you know, make those notes, whereas now you have more people doing the digital reading as well. So it is, it's like read for once and keep it moving. I think it's something to being able to have that book in hand and being able to highlight, being able to underline, and also being able to go back to that you've read and that you've taken into heart. You know, it's important to be able to, you know, go back and do, you know, recount that you've taken in, and you don't see that any longer. Kids pretty much are learning just to get through. And I won't say all of them. There are some that, you know, still have some of the qualities and things. They have parents like we had. You know, they still exist. Mm-hmm. But I think the more that they hear these stories, parents are hearing these stories, that they're able to say, you know what, maybe there's some things I need to do a little bit different to take it back a notch and, you know, bring my kids up in the way that we grew up, so that there is a greater appreciation. So, Casey, let me ask you this. You are running for soil and water. And I know that you stated, you know, when we talked, that you didn't know your voice. Can you tell me, how did you get your voice, lady? How did you come about getting the voice to, you know, come to the place of wanting to run for, you know, an office?
You know, when I was really small, I was very outgoing, very uninhibited. And I don't know what happened to me around the time I became a teenager, but I just became very fearful and very cautious. And I just would usually buddy up with one or two people, and I didn't spend time in big groups of kids. And I was not very social, but I was always inclined to leadership. I always wanted to do things behind the scenes. I helped plan junior prom. I was president of the environmental club. I was involved in different things, but that whole social aspect was just not a big part of my life. And after becoming a teacher, I've been teaching for the last 7 years, and so I've been with kids all day, so I'm very comfortable around kids. But being comfortable around adults and my peers, it just kind of takes me back to when I was, you know, a teenager, and how uncomfortable it was for me to try to really socialize. And so one day I was on the way to work, and, you know, sometimes you feel like you're just holding back from God. Like, you're comfortable with your life the way it is, and it's nice and it's good, and you don't really want anything to change. And, you know, if you pray that God, I'll do whatever you want prayer, then that means something's going to change, because God's always moving and God's always changing and doing. And so I had really held back from praying that prayer for a long time, despite the fact that I loved God and I felt like I was putting him first. I finally did, just on the way to work one day, say, God, whatever you want, I'll do. And, you know, within a week, I received an advertisement for a candidate workshop that Duval County Supervisor of Elections Office was doing for potential candidates. And I don't know why that glimpse of that ad stuck with me, but I couldn't shake it. And at 9 o'clock the night before the workshop, I finally emailed the lady to RSVP. I was like, if it's not too late, you know, can I still come? And so I did. I went to that meeting and I listened to everything, and I thought, oh goodness, this is for someone else. But all the while I'm taking, you know, crazy notes the whole time. And towards the end of the meeting, the lady I'd RSVP'd to said, well, do you think you're going to run for something? And I said, oh, I don't know. And another lady who was running for school board said, you should do it. Just do it. And so I left there and I thought, you know what? I should just do it. So I did. On a whim, I just decided I'm going to go for this, because I have a degree in political science. It's something that I had aspired to and maybe thought I would do one day. I really thought I would teach government. I didn't actually think that I would hold elected office or anything, but it's always been an interest of mine. And so I just threw my name in, and I thought, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm not going to just do this, you know, 50% or 90% or 99%. I'm going to do this all out, because that's how I feel like we should tackle things in life that are important and worth doing. And I thought, you know, this is an opportunity for me to show the community who I am and what I would like to do and what I see and what my vision is for, you know, where we could be. And so I'm going to just give this everything.
And you know what? That's one of the things that impressed me. You know, we met back in June and, I invited you out when I was going to meet with our one of our state representatives, and I listened to you talk to him. And, you know, this is an unpaid seat that you're running for, and it requires passion. And, Jennifer, I see the passion. I hear the passion in you. And, you know, can you talk a little bit about your vision for, you know, the seat that you're running for, the vision that you have and what you're wanting to bring forth?
Yeah, sure. So it's a countywide at-large type seat, and it's for Duval County Soil and Water Supervisor. And the Soil and Water Board really has two main functions in the community. One is to educate the citizens on soil and water stewardship, and the other thing is to act as sort of a liaison between the federal and state agencies that have money and citizens who may need that money to get better technology for water conservation, for example, on their property. And so I'm running because, as a teacher, I just feel like we have a missed opportunity in Duval County, because we don't have any resources in our conservation district for children to learn about stewardship. And I just think it's important that they learn, you know, where their food comes from. We have kids in Duval County that think food comes from a colorful box on the grocery store shelf. And so they need to know where real food comes from and, you know, why we protect our resources and, you know, why we don't just throw our trash towards the can, but we actually make sure our trash makes it in the can, because, you know, our kids need to know what happens to trash and where it ends up and how marine animals, you know, eat it, and then it makes them sick. And then, you know, they just don't necessarily see the consequences children do, but, you know, their moral compass is set by the time that they're 10. And so I feel like we need to give them these opportunities to learn about how to be a good steward, because this is the thing for me. Stewardship is so closely tied to ownership. So when you take care of something, when you tend to something, you begin to fall in love with it, and you begin to take ownership of it. You know, at my school, we do the same thing. Our students wipe down the lunch tables, and they vacuum the classrooms, and they really play a big role. And so we have a student that cleans a classroom one afternoon for the teacher. You know, she comes in the next day, maybe third period, and she sees trash on the floor. She says, "What happened to my room?" Because by that point, it feels like the student's room. Sure. It's not the teacher's room that's a mess. She cleaned it. She took ownership of it. It's my room, and it's a mess now. Who did this? And so I feel like what we need more of in Duval County is we need more people who love our county, who love Jacksonville, who take ownership and want to see it revived, want to see it really shine. And I think that one way we can do that is to start with our kids and give them these opportunities to learn to be a good steward.
Now, Jennifer Casey, which school are you at? Where do you teach?
Father's Harbor Academy.
Father's Harbor. Well, I tell you, they are blessed to have a teacher such as you that's, you know, just so passionate in wanting to do the things that you do. And as I stated, I mean, this is something you're not even going to get paid for. So it takes someone that has heart. And that is something that you've proven and you've shown that you do have the heart for. And I'm excited for you. You know, I believe that you're going to go even way beyond this that you are seeking at this time. And I'm glad that we're connected. And, you know, some of the things that you mentioned, you know, as far as with the students, how are you looking to, you know, incorporate the students in this vision?
Well, I already have been doing, like, cleanups with my students at school. So I would like to see that sort of expanded, but into other schools. But I also think that it can't just be a one-time event. There needs to be really ongoing mentorship. It needs to happen through relationships with concerned citizens and teachers and adults in children's lives. So what I'd like to do is I would like to create a hub of resources for our district so that different faith-based groups, civic organizations, you know, parents and grandparents and neighbors in the community that offer, you know, stuff for their kids in the summer in their neighborhood, so they could go to these resources and get them and use them with their kids. And it really just talk about the fundamentals, you know, how to start a small garden, maybe a small herb garden, because, you know, we have adults now that are so far removed from that time of agriculture where Florida was really, you know, thriving in agriculture. We're a couple of generations removed from that. So we have adults that don't even know how to start a garden. And so things like that, if we can have resources, I want to bring together different representatives from organizations all over Jacksonville that already have some, and let's see how we can make those resources really tailored to our youngest citizens.
And that's amazing. I mean, bringing forth the unity and bringing transformation. That's actually what you're doing, is transforming the minds when it's, you know, going back to agriculture, you know, going back to that, going back to the basics, you know. we are so far removed from the basics. And Jennifer, I just want to thank you for coming. I will be talking with you again. We need to meet up for lunch.
I would love that.
At some point here soon. I want to say to all of the listeners and viewers, you know, I'm not one big on getting, you know, too caught up in the politics. I believe that everyone, you know, has their views. I believe that we should love one another. And as the upcoming elections approach, closing on Tuesday evening on November 6th, let us be mindful to keep the peace. May all the voters vote their conscience, and irrespective to the outcome, let us remember to make supplications, prayers, and intercession, and give thanksgiving for all. Whoever is allowed to lead through election, being granted position of authority, let them lead quietly and peaceably, in honesty, for the good, and in love and heart of all people. Walking in wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, with godly counsel, with God-fearing, not flesh-driven advisors, honest, faithful, loyal, and true, in drawing our nation in love to love, blameless, with character and integrity, for the glory of Abba. As we come to a close, remember, family, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Thank you, Jennifer Casey. Thank you, viewers. Signing off. Until next week, let us love one another.
Thanks for joining A Winning World with Shermanda. Do you have a story or testimony and would like to be considered for an interview on the show? Connect on Facebook at A Winning World or Educators for Life, or visit Shermanda.com. Telephone 904-533-5222 or email connect@educators4life.com. Tune in next week for more winning stories on A Winning World with Shermanda. Number one.